As I pondered this theme, finding my place in the church, I was trying to figure out what would be a good thing to have another message on that wouldn't interfere with what was already on the agenda. And my mind went to some questions. I hope this isn't us asking these questions, but maybe it is sometimes in life. The theme is finding my place in the church. And these are questions that I've heard people ask already over the years. And questions that I think are in a lot of people's minds in the world around us today. Why is finding my place in the church so important? I'm a Christian. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I need to be a part of the church? The church is full of imperfect people anyways. Why is it necessary? Can't I just worship just as well by myself? What is the church anyways? We heard some of that this morning already. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Why is it so important to find our place and be a part of the church? Ephesians has a lot of instructions on the church, an overview of the church. The first three chapters are the overview of the heavenly perspective of the church, and then the last three chapters are the earthly working out or fleshing out of that heavenly perspective. We're not going to cover the whole book of Ephesians, but I'd like to start out with chapter 1. I'm just going to take the time to read this chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of your Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the body of Christ Jesus. And Jesus is the head of this church. Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. Now, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of many local churches around the world. Many local church bodies around the world are made up of believers who are part of the body of Christ. There's Lakeview, Keysville, Cornerstone, Pine Creek. All of these are local churches that are part of the church of Jesus Christ, the church body. So why is it important that we should be part of the church? Just give a little illustration. Maybe this is a poor illustration, but on September 25th, 1999, when my wife and I got married, she took me to be her husband, and I took her to be my wife. She didn't marry just my head. She got my whole person, my will, my emotions, my personality, my weaknesses, my strengths, my heart, my body. And the same way with her. I didn't marry just her feet. So how is it that we can say that we have a relationship, we're committed, we're married to the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ, and we want to have nothing to do with his body, which is the church? If the fullness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, dwells in the church, then the church is extremely important to us as Christians. And just as in a marriage, you take the whole package, the whole church. On the other hand, there are some cases where people love the church, but they don't have a relationship with the head. These are people who go to church simply for the social experience. That's the other side of the ditch. We need to love the church and be a part of it and find our place and put our heart into the church of Jesus Christ, because it is his body and Christ is the head. Kind of the focus, or where my mind started on this message, was the fact that Christ, or the church, is the bride of Christ. And that's the title of the message, The Church, the Bride of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The church in God's eyes is something special. It's something that is set apart or set aside from the rest of the world as something very precious, just like a bride is to a bridegroom. She is his bride, his priceless treasure. 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And as a bride of Christ, the church has a special purpose. We could go different directions with that purpose. There's different things we could look at. But in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A purpose of the church is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus. The one who has called it out of darkness, out of the world, into his marvelous light. As a bride of Christ, the ultimate purpose, I believe, of the church is to be a living representation of Jesus Christ on the earth until he comes again. The ultimate purpose is to be that living representation of Jesus Christ on the earth until he comes again. Pointing others to Christ by living for him. Under the Old Testament, we see how the children of Israel were called out. We can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we're just going to look at verses 32 to 40. This is an illustration of God calling out his people. The nation of Israel, the children of Israel, were God's chosen people here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32. For ask now, this is Moses talking to the children of Israel just before his time was up and preparing them to enter the land of Canaan and preparing Joshua to lead them forth into the promised land. It says, for ask now of the days that are past. Moses is talking to the children of Israel and challenging them with these questions. Think of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and a stretched out arm, and the great and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord thy God, your God, did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Did this ever happen before? Unto you it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee this his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. This is God calling the children of Israel out of the world as a special people, a chosen people, a peculiar people set aside for a special purpose under the Old Testament law. And now, under the New Testament, the church includes Jews and Gentiles alike. It includes anyone who comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The church is made up of people, Jews and Gentiles. We'll look into this a little more as we read further. People who were sinners. People who were in the lust of their flesh, living to the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What an awesome picture of the church. People who were living in sin and who were made free from the bondage of sin through the blood of Christ, through repentance and confession, and were made alive by the blood of Christ, and he draws them together in the church and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The children of Israel were called out to be a chosen people. But through Jesus Christ, the way has been made that you and I, the Gentiles, can be a part of God's family through adoption, as we looked at in a couple verses in verse 5 in chapter 1. Under the New Testament, the church includes Jews and Gentiles and anyone who comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. I'd like to look at a few verses in Isaiah. I'm going to be jumping around a little bit here this morning. Isaiah chapter 61. And just bring out a few points that are brought out as the church being the bride of Christ. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, and as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. What are the jewels that the bride of Christ is adorned with. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Joy from the inside out, an inner radiance of joy, even in the middle of trials and tests and temptations and struggles, that radiance of joy from our life is an ornament that adorns the church of Jesus Christ. There is the garment of salvation, the radiance of life that is saved from the bondage of sin. No matter what happens in the world around us, we know that if we're under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we've given our hearts to the Lord Jesus, we've confessed our sins and allowed Him to be Lord of our life, we have the garment of salvation. No matter what happens in this world, we are saved from the bondage of sin. Praise God. The garment of salvation adorns the bride of Christ. And then there's the robe of righteousness. I think of a life that expresses what is right in God's eyes. Obedience, love, humility, forgiveness, and a desire to help others into a right relationship with God and to find and fill their place in the church. The robe of righteousness adorns the bride of Christ. Just turning back another chapter in Isaiah to 62, verse 5. Actually, we'll read verses 1 to 5. This is Isaiah the prophet. He is expressing his fervent zeal for the accomplishment of God's promises to his church. Isaiah 62, starting at verse 1, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." And that's the Lord Jesus. "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. And thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, that's how God rejoices over the church, the bride of Christ. Of all the wonderful world and the heavens that God created, the church is his utmost priority. It is the bride of Christ. Jumping back again to Ephesians chapter 5. Looking at verses 22 to 30. This is a passage that we often use to instruct us how our relationship should be in a marriage. But I'd like to think of it this morning as focus mostly on the relationship of Jesus and his bride, the church. In verse 22, Ephesians 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Just as the husband is the head of the wife, that's the way Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We'll stop there. You see the picture of what Jesus has done for the church. Is the church important to Jesus? Yes, utmost importance. He gave his life for the church. He sanctified it and cleansed it so that it could be pure and blameless before him, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He loved the church as dearly as himself. And he gave his life for the church. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 22. And I'd like to think of this, or focus on the fact that the church in the world today has a voice. And what is the voice that the world is hearing from the church, from our church? In verse 17, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, say, Come. And let him that heareth," those who respond, "say, Come," and invite others. "And let him that is athirst come," those who are hungering and thirsting for something better than the world, let them come. "And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Whosoever will, that's in the world around us, let him take of the water of life freely. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." I had to think of this question. It's a bit of a play of words. Is the bride, the church, is the bride attractive to the world? Do they see something in us that they would like to have? Or is the bride attracted to the world? Are we attracted to the way of the world? The music, the way of dress, the party spirit, the carefree lifestyle? Are we attracted to the world? Is the bride attracted to that? Or does the bride have something that the world wants? In the world, there is a lot of hurting people that came from broken homes and broken relationships and are suffering in their hearts. I want to be careful how we view this, because I'm not saying that the church, the bride of Christ, needs to become like the world to be attractive to them. But as we are living lives of holiness and there is that joy of salvation radiating from the church of Jesus Christ, There is a light that shines out and a message that is saying, come. There's something here for you. There should be a well of water springing up and flowing out and reaching out to the world around us. Burden on my heart this morning, brothers and sisters, is that we would be a spotless bride of Christ and that we would stand out as something that is desirable, something that brings lasting fulfillment and satisfaction to the hearts of those around us. In Revelation chapter 19, in closing, we'll read verses 1 through 9. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. It's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he has said, and he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Someday, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is going to call for his bride to come and be a part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Will you be a part of the bride of Christ when that day comes? Will we be a part of that bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb? That's a challenge I'd like to leave with us. Are we plugging in? Are we putting our heart into the church? I know sometimes church life can feel mundane and just humdrum, and life just goes on. But let's put our hearts in every stage, in every area of church life. Let's find our place and be a part of the bride of Christ. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, this confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, the church, the bride of Christ, will prevail. It will stand. Will you and I be a part of it? Let's kneel for prayer.